Mike, thanks for joining me today. I'd like to start off with the Farm Bill. What are some of your priorities for this legislation?
Well, Nebraska's home to thousands of family farmers, ranchers, and my number one priority is protecting crop insurance. Everywhere I go in the 1st Congressional District, when I'm talking to folks in agriculture, they're really focused on making sure that we keep the crop insurance program the way it is without any extra strings attached. Obviously, support our commodity programs, provide for rural broadband and rural economic development. Those have been my priorities, in addition to ag research, which I'm proposing a new USDA center at the University of Nebraska Innovation Campus in Lincoln.
Is it frustrating working on this? Because I know that there are a lot of things that are tied into it that maybe don't necessarily pertain to farming.
You know what's so interesting is when you are in a state like Nebraska with 2 million people, there's three members of Congress that we have. Texas, just the Republicans, on Wednesdays at noon, they have 25 members of Congress that sit down at a table and decide which direction their state's going. And so, you know, as a smaller state, we really have to be aggressive and outspoken. And more importantly, we have to be easy to get along with so that you can work with your colleagues in order to get things done. The Farm Bill will not pass unless it has the SNAP program funding in it, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for low-income families. I know that's going to be an issue with a lot of members of the Republican conference. Hopefully, we can find common ground, pass a bipartisan solution. I'm not confident it will happen before October 1st, but I think by the end of the year, we can get it done.
Can you tell everyone where we're at as far as the National Defense Authorization Act? And I also was curious, who do you see as our biggest threat to national security?
Well, first of all, I'll say I'm so happy that the House passed its version of the National Defense Authorization Act and the Senate did. We're going to go to a conference committee and iron out the details. What I'm most pleased about, there's a 5.7% increase in pay for our service members. And we are having a hard time recruiting right now, and workforce is important. So that, I think, is a good step. We've got problems on two fronts. Obviously, the Russian aggression with Ukraine has been something we watch very closely. We're very vested in Ukraine's success. We want to see Vladimir Putin defeated. And then on the other side of the world, we've got major concerns with even bigger concerns with China's aggression towards Taiwan and their threats that they've made, their declaration that they plan to retake Taiwan and end its democracy. So we are working in the Indo-Pacific region to make sure that we are selling arms to our allies like Taiwan, Japan, and increasing our presence to just promote safety and hopefully deterrence.
Do you feel we're on top of that? I know you hear a lot out there about China's doing this and China's doing that, and that maybe we're asleep at the wheel, for lack of a better term. What's your stance on that? How do you look at that?
Well, after the balloon incident over the United States, yeah, I think Americans really came to terms with the fact that Russia is, or that China is, an enemy of the United States, that it presents a clear security threat to the United States. And to be honest, coming from the state legislature into the United States Congress, I am amazed at how much attention and focus we spend on understanding the threat from China. It's real. It's every day. It's in Nebraska. It's in New York. It's in Hawaii. It's in Guam. This is something that we have to come to terms with. And our young people need to understand that deterrence is the key, but we could find ourselves in a conflict someday. And that's unsettling, something that we need to do everything we can to deter that and build up our armed forces so that countries like China don't act on some of their prior statements.
Mike, the cost of everything everywhere is going up. Could you tell me how Congress is approaching the rising costs, but yet keeping all of our interests covered in that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, in the debt ceiling debate, we had a huge compromise that I ended up voting for that was signed by the president. It cuts spending by $2.1 trillion. It slows spending down, so we're going to spend less next year than we are this year, which has not been done in the history of the United States. But there's still work to do. We're $32 trillion in debt. That is unacceptable. It means we have to make hard choices. There's going to be federal programs that we vote on that you may not see my support on, because we can't have any more mandatory spending. We have to cut as much as we can, and that means some difficult decisions, not just in Washington, but that will reverberate through every state in the union.
Do you think the two sides can come together on this? Because Democrats traditionally have spent a little bit more and Republicans are more conservative. How do you think that will all play out?
Well, if you would have told me that we would have ended up with a bipartisan solution to the debt ceiling debacle going into that debate, I would never have thought it possible. But we were able to get there. The Senate got there, the House got there, and the president signed it. So there is an appetite in Washington recognizing that we have these problems. How to get there is a different question. We'll see how this goes with the 12 appropriations bills on September 12th when we return. It'll be, I'm sure, a busy fall, and hopefully we can land the plane before December 31st.
Kind of a general question here, Mike, but with there's been so much in the news about former President Trump's legal problems and also the problems with Hunter Biden. My question is, do you think that people are keeping their eye on the ball on the issues that really matter, or do you think they're distracted by those other things?
Well, we have a committee system like they do in the legislature, in the House of Representatives, and, Jamie Comer from Kentucky, certainly Jim Jordan from Ohio. They're focused in on this, but I can tell you that most of my time is spent as a member of the Financial Services Committee on the economy. I know Speaker McCarthy is focused on the economy. Steve Scalise is focused on, spending restraint. There are 435 of us with 435 different perspectives. There's a small group of people working on these investigations, but I think they're doing a really good job trying to get answers about what Hunter Biden really did do and what connections that he has, to his father and the rest of the family. And so we'll let that play out. And of course, on the other side with President Trump, that's not in Congress. That's in the judicial system in several different states. So at the end of the day, you're right. We need to keep our focus on moving the ball forward for all Americans. And that's what I've been working on.
And then, Congressman, I want to ask you, too, what's this been like for you? I'm trying to think how long you've been in office now, about 14 months?
Yep, you're right.
Okay. What's this been like for you this last 14 months?
Well, I was in the legislature for 10 years, made it out to Washington. It's a completely different body. It's partisan. It's large. I have found it to be very complex. It's complex systems require a lot of attention. You have to really throw yourself into the job, which I feel like I've been able to do. This has my full-time attention. I'm able to come back and, drive through Fremont twice a week. I live in Norfolk. So I travel back there every single weekend, watch my boys play high school football, do what everybody else does. I think that's important. I think that allows me to be very grounded. I'm around people I've known my entire life. I see folks in Fremont that I know. It's an honor to be there. And sometimes when you walk into the chamber, you look around and you're like, I have a front row seat to history. Like, I'm watching the State of the Union. I'm watching members of Congress debate foreign policy that shapes the future of our country. And so it's a real privilege to be able to do that.
You mentioned that you come back a lot. I think that's very important that you stay in touch with your constituents. I'm just curious, when you go to these football games and to the store, I'm sure that a lot of people want your ear. What are one or two things that people talk to you about that they're concerned as far as the nation?
Well, a lot of people are worried about our nation's debt. They want to know what we're going to do to bring it down, and that has a lot of people concerned, naturally so. I share that opinion. You also hear a lot about, what is going to happen with Hunter Biden? Where are we at in that investigation? Is this going to proceed? When are we going to get more facts? And, I and a bunch of other members of Congress talk to our leadership all the time, and they are working. They are issuing subpoenas. They are taking testimony. I think you're going to see a lot of that unfold later this year.
Okay. Congressman, is there anything else you'd like to add or anything we didn't go over?
I just say that Fremont is on fire. There's so many good things happening here. I had the opportunity today to go see some of that new housing, all those apartments that are over there. You've got one of the best transportation systems in the country for a town your size with the completion of all these four lanes that are coming in. I just think now's a great time to be doing business in Fremont, and it's an honor to represent this community in Washington.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your time today, Mike.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.